Now, friends, as we come here to the 23rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, we're still in a very interesting area. We are here seeing regulations for domestic and personal relations. And actually, you could write over this chapter, the world, the flesh, and the devil, for I believe that these are the three that we contend with daily, in fact, hourly, every moment as Christians today. Now, here is something that as we begin this chapter, we're living in a day when there's very plain language being used. In fact, I think vulgar language. But in the Bible, it's very strong language and it's generally avoided. I do not intend to avoid it always. There are passages that I don't read, but here there are great spiritual lessons that you cannot miss. Listen to this now. I begin chapter 23, verse 1. He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now that's an unusual law, is it not? What is God trying to say? That God is condemning asceticism. Now, we have a real application for that in our day. During the Middle Ages, of course, man saw the corruption that was in Europe and in Asia and North Africa, and they turned from the things of the world, and they became ascetic. They retired to monasteries to get away from the world. And very candidly, probably you couldn't blame them at that time for that. But that is an extreme that God warns against, and it's led in Protestant circles to that same type of legalism today. There are those that feel that if they are living a certain type of what they call a separated life, that they deny themselves so many things. And I've never found those folk being joyful people. Fact of the matter, I found some of them rather dangerous folk. They are very pious. They act very pious. They're always shocked if there's something that's to be quite worldly that's mentioned before them, or if a Christian does something that they think should not be done, they are easily shocked. But these people are very dangerous. I found out that they're the meanest gossips that you've ever met. And they may be very extreme in their separation, but they are pretty dangerous as far as gossip is concerned. And I'm not sure that their business relations are always honorable. I've had a very bitter experience in my own life with a little group like that, and I found them totally, absolutely, totally dishonest. And they are the most separated folk you've ever met in your life. God here warns against asceticism. That's what he's doing in this. This individual shall not come into the congregation of the Lord. Don't think that God accepts that type of thing. Now, here's another verse, and it's strong language. I hope that you're able to take strong language these days. Verse 2, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? That means simply this, that you have to be born again, a child of God. There are a lot of folk running around today saying, I'm a child of the king, and they're not a child of the king, they're illegitimate. The language that's used here is pretty strong, but that's what it says. God says, the man today that's religious and is not born again, that man is illegitimate. He's not my son at all. God makes that very clear. The Lord said to Nicodemus, he was a religious man, but he wasn't born again. He wasn't really a child of God, but he was saying he was. He wore phylacteries. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the people, a spiritual ruler. And yet that man was illegitimate. Our Lord says, you must be born again. Almost rudely interrupted him and told him that. Oh, there are a lot of folk today in our churches. I've been holding meetings for quite a few pastors over this country in all denominations and some that are not denominations. And a Baptist pastor told me back east, in fact in the Middle West, I should say, he said to me, he says, you know, McGee, there are a lot of baptized pagans today that are hell-doomed sinners. And they think because they've been baptized that they are a child of God. God says, my friend, that an illegitimate son's not going to heaven. He shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. God says, I don't have children like that. All of mine are legitimate, and they must be born again. That's a good question, isn't it, to ask today of many of you folk. Have you been born again? Do you know Christ as your Savior? To as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the exousion power, to become the sons of God, even to those that don't do any more nor less than simply trust in him, believe in his name. Now let me ask you the question. I have a right to ask it because it's his question, not mine. Have you been born again? Are you a legitimate child of God? And my friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, now, I don't care how many ceremonies you've been through. I don't care how many churches you've joined. And I don't care about how religious you might be. You're not a child of the King. You're illegitimate. His word here is a good word, by the way, but I've only used it once. Now, let me move on. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when ye came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Now, what we have here is false religion. You have the Ammonite and the Moabite. And today, archaeologists discovered that in the land of the Ammonites and the Moabites, that they were pagan to the worst degree. They found a great many of the little images of Baal, one of the worst forms of paganism, false religion. This is the devil. And the devil is not to enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite or Moabite's not to enter. Why? Because of the fact, by their fruits ye shall know him. He had a false religion. And what did it cause him to do? Well, he met you not with bread and water. This is the evidence. Now, if you will notice, God said, though, to his people, verse 5, nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace, nor their prosperity, all thy days forever. Now, this seems harsh, but the thought is here that this linking up with false religion is one of the worst things in the world. It's false religion that has damned this world more than anything else. But the most damnable thing today is false religion. We like to condemn everything else. And yet, if a church is on the boulevard with a high steeple and a nice-sounding bell, we say, my, that's a church. Well, that may be the very den of Satan, friends. It can be just that. And this is the thing that they are to beware of, not to come into the congregation of the Lord. Now, will you notice verse 7? Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he's thy brother. Edom represents, as we saw back in Genesis, the flesh. The flesh. And you shall not abhor an Edomite. Why not abhor an Edomite? Now, you're to abhor an Ammonite and Moabite. Why not an Edomite? Well, he's your brother. Esau and Jacob were twins. And you and I today have an old nature, the flesh. And, you know, I've spent a great deal of time hating it and trying to walk on it and do all that sort of thing. That doesn't do a bit of good. You've got the old nature. And you're not to abhor it. There are certain things today that I'm afraid a great many of our highly spiritual folk, they forget about. For instance, I stop 3 times a day generally and satisfy the flesh. I sit down at the table and eat. That's the flesh. I'm not to abhor it. I'm not to mutilate my body, because that won't do a bit of good at all. After all, the flesh is not the meat that's on the bones anyway. The flesh is that psychological part of us, that old nature. And that old nature is not to control us, but there are certain satisfactions. I think that there is a great deal to be said regarding culture, having a nice rose garden, and appreciating the things of nature and the sunshine and all of these things. I like to sit out in the warmth of the sunshine, don't you? I like to take a walk in the forest. May I say to you, don't abhor the flesh, but you're not to yield to it. The flesh is in rebellion against God, friends, but hating it is not going to get you anywhere at all. And then notice something else here. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he's thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian. Now, Egypt in Scripture represents the world. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, we're told, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But again, let me say that that does not mean the beauties of nature. That does not mean that I can't have an automobile. I drive a Chevrolet myself. I've never wanted a better car than that. And I have a very wonderful Christian dealer in Southern California that always makes me special concession when I trade in. And that's the best car, I'll be honest with you. But that's a nice car. That's part of the world. May I say to you, but I don't worship that old car, I'll tell you that. There are times I feel like kicking it, but nevertheless, it's part of the world, part of this that's around us today. And I don't want to fall in love with these things, but may I say, I don't want to despise them. I'm afraid that a great many folk get the viewpoint that the Puritans had. You know, the Puritans were extremists, thank God for them, but I wouldn't want to live back in their days. I'll be honest with you, the blue laws that they had, but if you've got to choose between their blue laws and their blue noses and their blue socks, I would take that in preference to the new morality and the nudity that we have today if I have to make a choice. I wish that I didn't have to choose either one. And so he says, abhor not an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land, and you and I are a stranger and a pilgrim down here in this world today. And I think that we are to recognize that we're passing through the world. Now, the children of Israel were never called upon to plant flowers in the wilderness. They were called upon to pass through it. I belong to no movement that's trying to straighten out the world. I'm just giving out the word of God. I think that's my business. We need to have a proper relationship to the world and to the flesh and to the devil, but there's no compromise with the devil whatsoever. This is a remarkable chapter. Now God tells them, because of these things, they are to have a clean camp, and the sanitary conditions were important. God told them about their sanitary conditions, what they were to do. That's an important thing. And it's been Christianity, by the way, friends, that has improved the sanitary conditions. Now, we hear today about pollution. Who polluted this universe? It wasn't Christians that did it. And it wasn't God that did it. He gave us clean streams, clean air, clean water, clean everything. It's man, sinful man, that's polluted this earth today. Now, if man were following God, then that's the best way to clean up this earth in which we're living today. Now, notice what he says, verse 14. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. Now, God's interested in cleanliness, by the ways. Who is it said? Was it Wesley said cleanliness is next to godliness? I think it's closer than that. I think it's part of godliness, by the way, to be clean. Clean in body, clean in environment, clean in mind, clean in thought, clean in action. We're to be a holy people in this world today. Say, this is very practical, is it not? Now, he has something else to say here that gets right down to the nitty-gritty. Verse 17, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. There were very few harlots among the Israelites. A friend of mine told me when he was over there in this land today that at one of the hotels he was approached there in this matter. There were harlots, apparently. But God said, among his people, there's not to be a harlot, or not to be a sodomite of the sons of Israel. And thou shalt not bring the hire of a harlot to the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. This is tremendous, by the way. This is great. It is something that is very important for us to see today. God will not accept, nor does he want, any income that comes from that which is illegal, that which is immoral, and that which is wrong. Now, I'm going to say something that I know is not popular, but I want to say it. I do not believe that any Christian organization ought to receive anything from the liquor industry. And I thank God that two schools in this country several years ago turned down a gift from a large brewery, but a hospital accepted the gift that was sent to them. And a great many try to cover up with that by giving, as they say, to charity.